Thank you, Lynn. I think this touches what you just said on the question of national sovereignty, and I think it's a very appropriate moment to ask Professor Theodor Katsanevas from the University of Piraeus from Greece to speak to us and on the topic of the abolishment of the euro and the monetarist malpractices of the casino capitalism. I would just like to ask the people who want to ask questions to either, I mean, just stand there or sit down, but we will interweave the discussion, but let's hear this first, please.
Dear friends, first I would like to thank the Schiller Institute which invited me here to address to this such a wonderful audience. And I must say before I start that I'm really moved by the youth of this atmosphere here, the youth of this hall. Especially yesterday, my heart was up when I heard this wonderful concert about all these wonderful young people. I would like to applaud. Now, I'm going to present for you a small documentary from Greece, which is titled The Abduction of Europe by Zeus in the Ancient Times and The Seduction of Europe by the monetarist capitalism in modern times. You may watch it. Thank you. that was made with by me and my colleagues who are unemployed. Huh? If you have a job opportunity for them, you let me know. I'm trying to move down the feelings after this documentary and come up to the modern Greek tragedy which we face now. And before that, I must remind you that yesterday I mentioned that in a brief intervention, I mentioned that my name, my first name is Theodore, which means in Greek, it means God's gift. But now I must also tell you that my second name is Katsanevas, which means down up. So it's God's gift who is going down and up, like Greece, which we thought that when we enter the euro, we surrender the paradise, but it was the hell. Now we live a modern Greek tragedy that we have never experienced before. Yes, part of the blame, yes, I must accept, is due to our viciousness political system. But the same system existed all the years before, living with the humble drachma, our national currency. Since the beginning of the crisis, the 2008, the country is falling down the cliff with no end, with no hope, with no light in the end of the tunnel. Unemployment rises to heaven. And desperate people are flying away, looking, searching for a place under the sun. As you saw before, there is a minor or a major problem that we have a massive exodus of the best Greeks abroad. At the same time, we have a massive illegal income of immigrants, mainly Muslims. I have nothing with Muslims or anybody, but this is changing the country's labor and ethnic basis. And it also means that this country that lived for 3,000 years, it might not exist in the next 50 years. And all this happens under the Acropolis, the cornerstone of the European civilization. The country that invented democracy, philosophy, mathematics, the arts, the spirit, the beauty, the country of Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, Pythagoras, Pericles, and all the rest you all know, and Frederick Schiller loved so much. This country, the birthplace of Europe, is tortured by the so-called European Union, which moved away from its own ideals of convergence and solidarity between nations. This is not a European Union. As it was said, is a European bubble union. I may say a European gabble union, maybe a criminal union also. And my country pays the price of an irrational economic experiment, that of the Eurozone. This crazy, abnormal current currency, without, of course, the existence of any central political and economic umbrella. And under the monetarist, as I call it, casino after capitalism, which Glass-Steagall very well elaborates. The whole Eurozone banking system is in danger, starting from Cyprus events, where there was a bank robbery, well, very well known. And as stated by the last Schiller report, this bank robbery was not a last-minute invention by the German government, but rather a well-planned operation concocted by the European Union Commission. Jacques Cheminade says these things you see there. He gave a very interesting, very nice interview in a Greek newspaper where he stresses that the banking oligarchy created by monetary central bankers like Robert Mundell, this guy got a Nobel Prize for this criminal act, and it is doomed to fail. And my friend Jacques, I would like to see in this declaration something about the euro. It has to, because as Lynn says, life is going on, and Glass-Steagall has to incorporate new criminal going-ons. Cyprus, Jacques Seminat said, should leave. And Europe has to be rebuilt as an association of sovereign nations with common development projects, a Europe of the peoples and of the fatherlands. South Cyprus was one of the most affluent European countries before its entrance to the Eurozone in January 2018. As a matter of fact, it was the first or the second most affluent country. A few years after, now, is a wreck. The North Cyprus, occupied illegally by the Turks, was and still is far poorer than its southern brother. Outside the Eurozone, it survives. And the question is, how can a poor territorial identity may surpass the depression relatively easy, and a much more developed country such as Cyprus cannot? Cyprus is alleged to be a laundry of black money. Maybe, yes, okay, I would accept that this is partly true, especially because its entrance to the European Union in 2008. But who can deny that about half of the total international economic transactions are directed to offshore tax havens all over the world? According to the OECD, 47 states do not follow internationally accepted tax standards. And this includes, allow me to say and forgive me to say, that this includes, amongst others, Ireland, Cyprus, Liechtenstein, Luxembourg, Finland, British Virgin Islands, which is Britain, of course, Cayman Islands, etc. And according to the Forbes magazine, the well-informed magazine, these are tax havens also. The U.S. state of Delaware, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Cayman Islands, the city of London, Ireland, Belgium, forgive me to say, the capital of Europe. Liechtenstein, Monaco, and Andorra, the last three known to be connected with Germany, France, and Spain accordingly. Who could deny that the bosses of the international casino capitalism could not extinguish in one night, just like this, these tax havens? Who? This land of backing malpractices and the laundrette of black money. Of course, they don't want to, and all we know why. Except in cases such as Cyprus, which has been a thorn on their nose. One of those supposed to be the alleged connection to Russian black money. That's why I asked yesterday our Russian friends about that. Something is going on. Something is going on between Russia and Germany, maybe. But those who possess the key of the money box order the music. And all of us, we know who they are. In one of our studies in the University of Piraeus, we looked at main economic indexes, the growth of GNP and the rest, attempting to explore the development pace of countries within and outside the Eurozone. We found that the economies, the gypsies, the so-called gypsy, Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and now Cyprus too, kept on well before they joined the euro in around 2000, but they dropped downwards sometime later. The same is true for other Eurozone countries, Slovenia, Slovakia, Estonia, Belgium. Only Germany, France, Austria, Finland, Holland appear to be doing well in general terms. Countries outside the Eurozone, such as Britain, Denmark, Sweden, Czech Republic, even Bulgaria, Hungary, Poland, Romania, maintain a steady upward trend with partial decline with the advent of the crisis. Also countries outside the European Union, like Norway, Serbia, Turkey, survived the crisis, more or less, of course. And now they develop at a normal, even at a fast pace, as does Russia, China, India, Brazil, Argentina, even Ethiopia and Ghana, and many other countries. They survive the crisis and they go on, with minor problems, of course, but they go on. 4 years after the crisis, most countries, they survive. Only the gypsies, the peripheral countries within the Eurozone, are wrecks. What is the real cause of such a phenomenon? I would be happy if you give me a good explanation. But allow me to say that all statistical data points to this fact, that it is the ill-functioning of the Eurozone combined with the malpractices of the extreme monetarist capitalism, or the after-capitalism, the casino capitalism, which is, of course, part, or it includes the Glass-Steagall ideas, together with the existence of the internationally protected tax paradises, the uncontrolled capital flows, the unification of trade and investment banks, as Glass-Steagall points out, the dominance of the monetarist bubble against the real productive economy, and the underestimation of humanitarian values in favor of the market ideals. As proven by Stephen King, a very well-known Australian economist, by the end of the 80s, the financial sector surpassed the non-financial sector and rises at a very faster speed. This is, you may see, the red line is the financial sector, and the yellow line is the non-financial sector. In a way, you may say, the finance economy, the bubble economy versus the real economy. This economy, the gambling economy, versus the productive economy. And this is not just a saying from this microphone. These are real statistical facts. Of course, as the Schiller Institute states, if somebody is to blame, these are not the people whose civil and labor rights had won over centuries and are disappearing down the abyss. The have ones always ask more and more and more and more for the have nots, Brecht said. Paul Krugman, the top Nobel Prize economist, said that 15 years ago Greece was not paradise, but it was not in crisis either. So how did Greece get into such a much trouble? Blame the euro. Ask yourself, why does the dollar area, without the kind of severe regional crisis now afflicting Europe, it works? How it works? The answer, according to Krugman, is that in the United States, there is a strong central government which provides automatic bailouts to states that get in trouble. The origins of this disaster lie north, in Brussels, Frankfurt, where officials created a deeply bad monetary system. And the solution has to come from the same places. Kenneth Rogoff, says similar things. Allow me to go on and speed. You'll find, I hope you'll find my extended speech, of course. That's why I have to run. You'll find it printed in paper, I hope in your magazine and the rest. And also the top German economist, Hans Werner Sinn, says similar things. They all are supposed to be by the mass media, the system in Greece, are supposed, them, all these top economists, and our side in Greece, we are the gangs of the drachma. The gangsters talk about the gang. Helga Zeplarus, in another very interesting interview in a Greek paper, stressed that the position of the euro system as the price to pay for German unification was never done with the intention of creating a prosperous European economy. And goes on with the well-known phrases, allow me to go faster, and say that according to our studies, according to the common feeling, the euro is a suit. The euro without a central political and economic umbrella is a suit that does not fit especially the southern countries, especially Greece, which is based on tourism and agriculture that requires a labor-intensive production process. To be simple, the room of a Greek hotel costs about twice the same room in Turkey, Egypt, Bulgaria, Romania, etc. The cost of fertilizers produced by oligopoly companies in North Europe cost more than double in Greece. Also, this is a very important point, I want you to see it. Imported armaments from the West and from Europe, in the last 12 years, they cost to Greece about or more than 100 billion euros, a sum almost equivalent to our original deficit. Why? Why do we have to buy all these armaments? This is also because Turkey, a candidate for entering the European Union, threatens Greece and Cyprus and obliges us to do so. We are not stupid to spend money for armaments. We have to survive. This is the reason. And where is the European Union in all this? They just sell weapons. That's what they do. The only clear solution is the Grexit, as it is called. The exit of Greece and the other southern countries from the killing euro. The exit, of course, initially should be painful. Nobody can deny such a thing. Yet the present situation is hopeless. Depression creates more depression. Poverty, more poverty. Misery and upheaval. Loans lead to more loans and dependency. As Menandros, an ancient Greek, one of the many ancient Greek philosophers, said, loans make slaves the human beings. This is a vicious circle that you cannot get out of it if you don't do something, because these policies are wrong. These policies are not logical, and we need logic. Unless what it happens is what some people whisper around. These policies derive from a dark plan of the Big Brother for the total subordination of the weaker countries by the bosses of the international casino after capitalism. According to a plan B that we have elaborated with my scientific and political team and some other politically activated people in Greece, this movement is growing very fast recently, the exit from the hard euro, but not from the European Union, the European Union of the humans and not the markets, of course, should be accompanied with a controlled bankruptcy by cutting about 50 to 70% of the total debt. with a grace period of 2 years to start repayment of the remaining 30-50% by extending the repayment period with a new Marshall Plan, as the Sealer Institute mentioned, with government being careful, of course, in spending, modernizing public administration, combating corruption, impunity, bureaucracy, tax evasion, with a sense of fairness, efficiency, competence, and honesty. Low and medium wages and salaries should be increased eventually at a moderate level in accordance with the shift towards internal consumption so as to avoid the dangers of hyperinflation. Of course, the government must take care of the provision of basic goods. Certain commodities, those imported, will disappear for a while, but I suppose we can survive without caviar, Porsche, Lamborghini, and all these things. We survive. I could give you a speech like the old Castro times for five hours, but looking some people to move their watches because the watch stopped, all gone. Taking a look into the Argentina example and other variables, we have estimated how long this crisis period should take. This is the Argentina example. Let me explain you very soon what it shows. And this is taken by the New York Times, Paul Krugman, six months ago. The blue line is the economic development, GNP development of Argentina. And the red line is the development of Brazil. You see that the Argentina goes out from the dollar, relocate itself, the pesos, from the dollar in the year 2000. It goes down. The economy goes down, of course. And then it raises up because it gets back its antagonistic infrastructure and becomes stronger and stronger. And now Argentina, with problems, of course, who doesn't have problems, is getting much better. And this is proven by the fact that last year, only last year, Cristina Kirchner won the elections with 53% of the population. We have estimated this course of the Grexit. You see, if we say that we go out in a year, 2013, we'll go down, and then hope will come back again. Because this is what we need. We need hope that has disappeared now. Hope does not exist at this moment. And this is the most important thing. Instead of anathema to the dark, again I say, you saw it in the beginning, you better light a candle. The Grexit is, and the introduction of the drachma with robust growth, with national dignity and social justice in the only way out. I'll pass on these things and I'll come to the epilogue. Last but not least, I suggest a certain resolution which partly was adopted by the conference, and come to my epilogue saying that what Frederick Schiller said, that lose not ourselves in a far off time and seize the moment that is thine. We dare to err and to dream for the renaissance of Greece and for all Europe, and take up the strands of the flourishing phases of previous epochs, such as the ancient Greece and not only. Then, and only then, will we enter into the land of knowledge through beauty, Brutus down gate, as the glorious memories of Athenian Pericles' golden ages. And then, of course, the abduction of Europa, would find her sun shining smile again. Ending my presentation, I would try to mix words from Socrates and Lydon LaRouche that The search for knowledge and progress never ends. What it matters is the journey, the good journey, to create a good human kingdom. Thank you very much.